to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I've been joined by my guest. Is it Dr. Professor Michael Rosen or Professor Dr. Michael Rosen?
Michael Rosen.
Right. Listen, we're going to clean off these phone lines first, sir, and then we'll come to you. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Hey, good morning, Gary. How you doing?
Hey, Earl. Okay, I want to make a comment about CJ.
Listen, man, I won't talk about CJ.
We're going to talk about it if it's okay with you, okay, because it's your show. All right. It is your show, Earl, and you're losing control. You're letting him get your goat, and you can't do that. You're in charge, you know. But the fact is, people like CJ and me that call up all the time make the ratings better for you guys.
Oh, listen, man. I don't do radio for ratings, okay? You got me mixed up with conservative talk radio.
I'm telling you, man.
I don't come in here saying, let me see what's going to be the best thing I can do for ratings. I'm not here for entertainment, man.
No,
that's the station. That's the other stations that you listen to.
But Earl, the thing is, it is your show, and you have control of it. But you're letting him get your goat. I'm sitting here laughing
Gary,
my head off.
Hey Gary.
You know?
Hey Gary.
Go ahead.
If you want to talk about the subject, fine. I don't want to talk about CJ. You know,
okay.
We're talking about Ron Johnson and who Ron Johnson is and his record. Okay?
All right.
That's what I've been talking about. If you want to chime in on that, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, I will. Okay. Ron Johnson, I believe that he's a good guy, and I think that the Democrats and the progressive liberals are going out there and just ripping him apart.
What makes him a good guy?
I think he's a morally good, ethical guy that's trying to be make our country good, okay? And I think that I don't have a real problem with Mandela Barnes, but the thing is, I think that he's a nice guy, just like you said, but I don't think that he's good for the fight against crime. I don't think that he would be good for our state. I think Ron Johnson will be a better senator. I don't think that Ron Johnson's going to lose. He came from behind with...
Hey, Gary, did you hear me run down Ron Johnson's record earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah. The thing is, I think...
Those things are good for the state?
I think it's slightly distorted, okay? And it's your view on how you see it. It's like you see a car accident. Everybody,
let me ask you something. What's distorted about Johnson voted against creating a commission to study the Capitol riots? What's distorted about that? About Johnson voted against the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act? What's distorted about Johnson voted against confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson? What's against Johnson voted against the bipartisan gun safety bill? What are you talking about?
Our new Supreme Court justice can't even define what a woman is. I mean, give me a break. I mean, she's not qualified. I mean, they asked her a question. What is a woman?
Okay. What about some of the other things, man?
Like
He voted against the bipartisan gun safety bill. Well,
I don't know why he bought. No, listen, Earl, I don't know what's in his mind, but I believe what he's doing is what's best for America. And I'm not saying
why is it best for America allow the federal government to negotiate with drug companies so that pharmaceutical prices can be lower? He voted against that. Why is it good for America to vote against fixing up the aging infrastructure in this country, including the fixing roads, bridges, and pipes? Why is it good for America to put Social Security on the chopping block, which is what he would do if his proposal to make it discretionary spending takes place? Why are those things good for America?
Okay, he wants to save Social Security.
That's what he says. He wants to put Social Security as a discretionary item. The only reason you would make it a discretionary item is so that you can look at it every year and cut it. Now, when he got caught in saying he wanted to make it discretionary. He said, oh, no, I want to save it. But there's no way that you save it by making it discretionary. If you want to save it, all you have to do is lift the cap that currently has people paying Social Security on their first, that is, people on 147,000, and increase it to 200,000, and it'll be solvent.
Or more.
Right?
No,
so he hasn't proposed that.
800,000.
He proposed, well, whatever the number you want to use, but he hasn't proposed that. Instead, he said, make it discretionary. Do you realize that the discretionary budget is only 30% of the total federal budget, and half of the discretionary budget is national defense spending or military spending, which neither party has any inclination to cut. So that means that Ron Johnson, who keeps saying we have to cut federal spending, the only place he would do it is out of that 15% of the budget where he wants to put Social Security. So are you telling me that he is not going to, if he gets it there, cut Social Security? If you add one and one and get two, it's pretty clear what his objective is, and he's made it clear. He's even said that Social Security should not be a social insurance program, that where you pay in and are guaranteed a benefit, but we should give it to Wall Street where it will be gambled, and we've seen what's happened to Wall Street in 2008 and even today.
Now, okay, I see. I agree with you. This cap that they have that people only pay up to making $140,000 is ridiculous. Why should these people not be paying Social Security if they're making $800,000?
Gary, you stated ahead. That Ron Johnson was a good guy. Okay.
Yes.
And then when Dr. Rosen pointed out the folly in that, you said you agree with. You can't agree with both. It's either or, man.
Well, let me disagree a little bit with Earl here. I don't care. I don't know the man. I don't know if he'd be a guy I'd want to have a beer with or not, if he's a good guy in that way, or a guy I'd want to go to a ball game with. That's not the issue. I evaluate people
based
on the positions that they take, and are they good for America? Are they good for the state of Wisconsin? Are they good for the people in Wisconsin? And so I'm not going to sit here and argue, because I've never met the man, whether he's a nice man or not. I'm going to evaluate him on the positions he's taken and the impact that that has on people like you, Gary, or Earl, or myself and our families.
So, Dr. Rosen, COVID-19, he basically said that was a folly, a sham. He was opposed to, on June, let me see. He was opposed to what took place with COVID, and he talked about it being a sham. June 21st, 2022, he hand-delivered votes from a slate of fake Republicans, electors. I mean, there's a whole list of things, Dr. Rosen, that point him out as not being exactly, an honest guy. And so, you can look at those different things. Johnson has raised concerns about COVID vaccines and promoted the use of ivermectin and other unapproved therapies. Johnson was criticized in February for not pressuring a manufacturing company, Oshkosh Corporation, to place jobs in his hometown. On and on and on. He faced accusations of racism after saying the supporters of Trump who stormed the Capitol on January 6th didn't concern him, but that he might have been concerned had they been supporters of Black Lives Matter movement. I don't base what I'm saying about Ron Johnson on one thing, Dr. Rosen. It's his record
that
is in writing, right? I mean, you can see it. It's there. Gary, last word.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is that I have one question to ask you. Does Mandela Barnes, is he in favor of, and I don't know this, I just watched the commercials that they have out on getting rid of cash bail. Is that true or is that a false? I just want to know, because I hear the commercials, I want to know from you, is this true or false? Does he want to get rid of cash bail for criminals? Because as far as I'm concerned, you steal a car, you go out there and you commit a crime with a gun, you go to jail for a very, very, very long time. We kind of make Milwaukee a lot safer than it is.
The purpose of cash bail is to make sure that someone, and by the way, on a federal level, there is no such thing as cash bail. So for federal crimes, there isn't. Cash bail doesn't exist. The impact of cash bail at the state and local level is simply that, and I think this is being used in a dishonest way by Johnson's campaign, is simply that if you're low income and you can't pay that cash bail, you stay in jail prior to being convicted. Now, if you've convicted a dangerous or violent crime, you don't need cash bail to keep that person incarcerated waiting for trial. And in fact, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Garnet News did a fact check on this and said that the fellow in Waukesha who rode into the parade would have been in prison under Mandela's proposal to eliminate cash bail. What cash bail does is simply keeps low and moderate income people in jail prior to being convicted of a crime, but allows people who can put up that cash bail, wealthier people, to pay it. And so what they're people who are proposing, and many states have eliminated cash bail exactly because it's discriminatory against working class and poor people. But when it's eliminated, it does not preclude keeping violent criminals in jail awaiting trial.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Dr. Professor Michael Rosen is in the studio, and he doesn't want me to use those titles, but he's earned them. Let's go to Gene. Hey, Gene, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, Earl. Appreciate your show. You know, the thing of it is, the Republican Party have ran on the backs of We Support Crime bills all the way back to George Bush, and they do it in a racial way because, remember, Bush used Willie Hardin to get elected. So I'm saying if it is, they talk about we are for crime, but when the people went up there to the Capitol and beat the crap out of the police, all of a sudden they are crickets on crime right there. Ron Johnson voted against giving these people, these cops, he defunded them by voting against giving them compensation when his people went up there and beat the crap out of them. He also said that we should defund the FBI because they're investigating Trump. So I'm saying of it is, these people are done lied to themselves so long. You know, the old saying is, if you tell a lie long enough and often enough, you believe. They actually believe the lies that they tell. Every time they open their mouth, it's a lie. They say good morning, it's probably a lie. You can check it. So I'm saying of it, these people, I'm just trying to defend. They have nothing else to run on. Like Ron Johnson's record, if he ran on his record, he wouldn't even make it out of his house, let alone in the Senate. So I'm saying of it is that, man, I just tell you, if this country get turned over to wackos like this, we are in the rest of us in some serious trouble. But be it to them not known, if they're on the low end of the ruin, they're going to be in the same boat we are. So look at that. They've taken away your rights to vote. They've taken away women's right to choose. We are losing more rights under the Republican Party than we have under any other party out there. They vote against everything except the rich and the famous. So I'm saying over here, these people need to wake up, quit drinking and smoking that crack that they're smoking. They need to wake up and get themselves on the right track, because in the end, you know what? We are all Americans. We are all one nation. And it's divided because of the Republican Party. They choose to divide this nation because it's beneficial for their elections. And that's my take for the day.
Hey, Gene, man, well said. Well said, my friend. You know, Dr. Rosen, you stated that the record is what we should be talking about. And there's a lot of record there, right? I mean, if you look at what Ron Johnson has voted for and what he's voted against, it's telling.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that when we elect a United States senator, we're electing them to pass the laws and programs that the federal government is responsible for. And so when I evaluate somebody, I look at what their positions are on those important issues. So, for example, the caller just mentioned women's reproductive rights. Ron Johnson has opposed women having control, women and their doctors being able to make decisions over their reproductive rights, reproductive decisions. Even in the case of rape and incest. Now, Johnson has since modified his position, but there's a long history of him having a very radical position. The only one thing you can assume is that he has modified his position because he realizes how unpopular that position is.
It's the same thing Tim Michaels has done.
And in terms of the crime and violence, look, there's a crime problem in this country, which is largely confined to two things. One is opioids, which is a crime problem, but it's also an illness issue, drug addiction, which is largely outside of the major cities. And then you have in certain very specific geographic areas, you know, severe violence. To try to attribute that to somebody like Mandela Barnes, when that violence is takes place not only in urban environments, but across the country in rural and suburban areas as well, is simply disingenuous. And to try to associate Barnes with what happened in Kenosha, for example, is he had nothing to do with that. With Waukesha, he had nothing to do with that. So what we should be talking about is what position do we want a senator who's voting against funding infrastructure, fixing our roads, fixing our bridges, replacing lead pipes in the water so that all citizens have safe drinking water? Or do we want someone who's for that infrastructure repair? Do we want someone who wants to keep drug pharmaceutical prices low? Or do we want someone like Ron Johnson who voted against that? Do we want someone who talks about cutting spending, but then when he gets a chance to pass a tax bill that
for the wealthy,
the biggest one in the history of the country, almost $2 trillion, and almost all of it goes to corporations and the ultra wealthy, including Diane Hendricks, one of his main campaign,
right,
a billionaire, and one of his main campaign financiers. Do we want someone who's going to vote for that, or do we want someone to make sure that there's tax fairness, that working class and middle class people? Those are the issues that are at stake in this election, and as a voter, people should be making their decisions based on the record and the policies being proposed by the candidates.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. I see you guys on the line. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
You're never going to break my heart.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Dr. Rosen, I will say to you, and my guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. So, Dr. Rosen, let's just try to paint a picture of what is actually taking place and where people should really focus in the election. To us, beneficial. Shouldn't the election be about what is going to, it's in a representative government, about what the people who are running can do?
Yeah,
exactly.
An election is supposed to represent a choice to the voters on policies. What are the policies? So, for example, we were talking earlier, what is the position of Ron Johnson on Social Security, which is a federal policy? It's a social insurance program that provides old age insurance so that seniors can live in dignity, and also provides help
for disabled,
right. And it's something that people paid into as their employers did. It's also something that when it was voted on, a third of Republicans opposed. All the Democrats were virtually for it. But the Republican opposition has continued to grow against it ever since. Ron Johnson, as we discussed earlier, and I'm not going to go back through the argument,
right,
but by wanting to put it on as a discretionary item, is putting it on the chopping block no matter what he says. Mandela Barnes says he supports Social Security and it needs to be protected, and so there's a real policy difference there. I think what's unfortunate is that we kind of get into these tribal camps and don't look at the issues. Another issue is prescription drugs. We know that the prices are crazy. I'll give you a great example. One of the things I am doing in retirement is I work for the FAST Fund, Faculty and Students Together, which provides quick financial assistance to Milwaukee Area Technical College students when they have an economic emergency. So a student called who has a prescription to drugs and for a medical condition that he has, and it went up to $450 a month for his prescription this month. And so he called us to see if we could help them. We found a thing called, I think it's called Dr. RX, something like that.
Right.
And instead of $450 with the coupon that company provided, he got the month supply of that particular pharmaceutical that he needs for the prescribed for less than $30. So the FAST Fund didn't even have to give him any money once I got him that coupon. But it just shows how much money these drug companies are charging for these drugs, for these pharmaceuticals. Ron Johnson voted against allowing the federal government to negotiate pharmaceutical prices. And the reason that the federal government should be allowed to do that and could get lower drug prices is because it is such a big consumer. That is, it pays for so many pharmaceuticals, it has clout in the marketplace.
So let me tell you, I have a medication that I take that costs $1,200 a month, right? Okay, so I am on Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I found out that you couldn't get, you know, as you stated, that is discounts that you can get for certain meds, when they found out I was on Medicare, you can't get the discount.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
So let's bring it back. Why, on this issue, which is critical to people all over the country, but in Wisconsin, drug prices are much higher than they are in other countries.
That's correct.
And Ron Johnson voted against allowing the government to negotiate lower drug prices. Mandela Barnes is for it. Those are the kinds of issues and policies that people should be looking at. That has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican or whether you're rural or suburban or urban. These are issues that affect all of us. And people, I would hope that people would make a decision based on the policies and whether it's good for the people of the state.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Hey, Earl. In my book, there are some significant reasons to vote for anyone but Johnson. And I think you stated some of these already. For one thing, he tried to deliver not just Wisconsin's fraudulent electors, but also Michigan's. Now, if you didn't really, he says, "Oh, I didn't understand what this is about." Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he has two sets of fraudulent electors. Now one, you know, not just for his state, but for the adjacent state. And he's trying to deliver these to Pence to convince him basically to overturn the election. He's also advocated using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for COVID, which may have actually killed people in Wisconsin who believed that and tried to do that. He tries to tell us, and this is a quote, "By and large, January 6th was a peaceful protest." And this guy is clearly a seditionist. That is to say, he's someone that is dedicated to interrupting and disrupting our government and governmental processes. And he should be put in jail, not put into the Senate. Sorry, I get a little upset when I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think another area. There is a consensus in this country by the scientists that we are experiencing global warming, and global warming is causing all kinds of once in a lifetime climate events. Every year, it's disrupting agriculture, and it's actually, and across the world, it's responsible for actually killing people in poorer countries as well. And he denies it and has been an obstructionist in attempts by our government to come to grips with this. For not only those of us, you know, of my generation, but our children and our grandchildren. Yeah. And that's another area where he just, you know, is adhering to a policy or promoting a policy that's contrary to the best interests of the people of this country.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Oh, go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Jack?
Okay. I'm a scientist, and I started studying global warming back in the late 1980s in grad school. And there's no question that global warming, even then, was a fact. We predicted almost all this stuff that you see happening today. The, you know, the ocean rise, the melting of the glaciers, extreme storms. NASA has done studies from this, and the studies stated that trillions of dollars in damage have been caused just by global warming. Do you think it's going to be expensive to try to fix the problem? It's going to be real expensive if you don't. And that's just the money end. what about the people that died from this huge storm in Florida? You know, that people don't understand stuff like this. This is the problem.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call.
I think, Jack, you were mentioning NASA. One of the leading scientists who studied climate change and global warming was James Hansen, who was one of the top scientists at NASA for years. And he's been sounding the alarm on this since the 1980s. And as you said, we have experienced these extreme weather events, whether they're these fires out in California, whether they're these tornadoes and hurricanes that are characterized as once in a lifetime, and they now happen every year. Jack mentioned the waters rising that threaten to submerge cities. And yet someone like Ron Johnson has opposed climate change, as opposed to doing anything, and denied the existence of it, despite the scientific consensus. And so, again, here's another issue where people should really examine the policies. And by the way, it might have been true 20 years ago that going to alternative sources of energy that were not promoting climate change was more expensive. That's not true today, because wind power and solar power, the cost of those has come so far down that they're actually cheaper now than electricity. By the way, We Energies is trying to raise its prices by another 8.2%, which is something not germane to the debate between the United States Senate, but is something people should be concerned about.
All right, let's go back to the phone. CJ. CJ, you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call. You didn't respond to Gary, who called and asked the question.
Listen, CJ, if you want to focus on the subject that we are talking about right now,
I think
then don't tell me about
Ron
Gary.
Johnson and Mandela Barnes, right?
Well, go ahead.
You never answered the question, Earl. Mandela Barnes wrote the end cash bail bill. He wrote it. That man believes it.
Yeah, I actually did.
I did
respond to that. I said yes. He did, and ending cash bail does not allow violent criminals out of jail. And in fact, the Journal Sentinel, and the Gannett publications did a analysis of it, and they said that under Barnes's law, proposal that is, violent criminals would be kept in jail. What ending cash bail does is it prevents low-income people from being kept in who have not been tried for crimes, sometimes very minor crimes, even like the possession of marijuana, from being kept in jail because they can't make cash bail, but allows people who have the money to get out. But it does not allow violent criminals to be released from jail. Read the bill. Read the bill. Read the Journal Sentinel's analysis of it. And they said it is not true.
Well, the fact is, Wisconsin doesn't want him. Because the more we found out about him, he worked for organizations that believe in defund the police.
No, he does
as
not.
As bad as you say Ron Johnson is, people don't want.
Wait a minute. So when Ron Johnson defended the people who murdered four Capitol policemen, and when Ron Johnson defended the people who injured violently 140 Capitol policemen, you don't have a problem with that. But you have a problem with Mandela Barnes, who is opposed to defunding the police, but believes that we need to put resources into our communities to stop crime before it takes place, as well as funding the police.
You don't care about the other 59,850 that were injured, the police that were injured. You don't care about the crime that went on.
Of course I do. Of course I do. How can you even say I don't care about them? Of course I do.
Because you only mentioned the 144.
Because you're telling me Ron Johnson is a... Because you are telling me that Ron Johnson is a supporter of police, and I'm telling you that when the rubber met the road and people, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and Trump's mobilized MAGA crowd attacked police...
I got to go to break. Hang on. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. My guest is Dr. Professor Michael Rosen. And CJ, I give you a chance to respond to Dr. Rosen. Go ahead.
Well, I just am frustrated because, you know, you speak about Social Security. It's going to go in the red. There's not enough workers to support it within the next 10 years. Someone's got to address it. He doesn't want to end Social Security. He wants it viable. And it's not going to be with the rate that we're going. So,
CJ,
you know,
CJ,
his record...
CJ, first of all, it's not going to go in the red. What will happen is that it will not have enough to pay. It'll only have enough to pay about 3/4 of the benefits. But Johnson's proposal to make it discretionary is not to save it. It's to put it on a chopping block so it can be cut. If he wanted to save it, and I made this point earlier, all he has to do... Let me finish, please. He wouldn't say, let's make it discretionary. The only reason to make something part of the discretionary budget is so that it's evaluated every year and you can increase or decrease its funding. The purpose, if he wanted to fix it, all he would have to do is raise the cap, as Gary earlier mentioned, raise the cap to $200,000 or $250,000 of income a year, and it would be solvent. But that's not what he proposed. He proposed putting on a discretionary, and he only later said he was doing it to save it when he realized that that was so politically unpopular.
Well, you know what else is politically unpopular? End cash bail. Defund the police. So... this candidate that you support, Mandela Barnes, the more people found out about him, just like the Marquette poster that has been on this radio station, said the more people that found out about what Mandela Barnes believed...
The Marquette poster did not say that.
...the less people want it. And that's why Mandela Barnes will lose
you,
Senator Ryan.
CJ, can I ask you something? Where did you get your information on Mandela Barnes?
I've read
conservative talk radio.
Do you know what organizations he's worked for?
What organizations has he worked for? Please tell me.
Empower Wisconsin, Center for Popular Democracy. One of their platform items is defund the police.
He worked with those organizations. Have you worked with organizations that you didn't entirely agree with? Have you ever?
Well, he agreed with it.
No, he did not. He does not support defunding the police. He never said so. What
now
he said.
Does, he's backtracking because he has to, because it's politically.
I think what you get most of your information. It sounds to me like you get most of your information from commercials that are paid for by Ron Johnson's campaign and Mitch McConnell's campaign that are attempting to distort someone's record.
Can I ask you a question?
What Mandela Barnes has said about criminal justice, and it's interesting because, frankly, a United States senator has no control over police departments. So why are we discussing what his position is on local police departments, which are controlled by city government. And incidentally, Ron Johnson voted against current bills that would have funded public safety and provided money for police. Those are bills that Mandela Barnes would have...
Yeah, because they were loaded with pork.
They were loaded.
Most of those
what was the pork?
Loaded with pork that don't even go to those.
What was the pork?
Oh my gosh! How about the safety net bill or the safety bill that President Biden forced on Congress? That how about the Inflation Reduction Act bill? They don't call it that.
The Inflation Reduction Act bill. What don't you like in that bill? What don't you like in that bill?
That bill.
What don't you like in that bill?
Johnson voted against it because it didn't reduce inflation. The Democrats don't call
What don't you like in the bill?
Pardon me?
What in the bill are you opposed to?
Which bill are you speaking of?
The Inflation Reduction Bill. What in the bill are you opposed to?
I don't see the point in this.
Bill. You know, I appreciate you trying to debate me on this, but...
I'm asking you as an honest question.
Mandela
what
Barnes.
In the bill are you opposed to? Are you opposed to us trying to do things around climate change? Are you opposed to
yes.
us subsidizing...
Yeah.
Okay, you're opposed to that. Well, that is yeah. a policy difference, and, you know, I disagree with you. I think it's very
it's
important.
It's not Inflation Reduction Act, is it? The Inflation Reduction Act doesn't reduce inflation, does it?
Well, in it it will reduce some inflation because in it was some language that will allow the federal government to attempt to negotiate drug prices and bring them down.
Yes,
so that will bring that down. And in fact, if we become less dependent on oil, which is now going up, oil prices are now going up again, not because of Biden, but because OPEC is cutting back on its production of oil to get prices back up. If we become less dependent on oil, we in fact will bring down inflation. So, but whether or
when
not,
does it bring down inflation, Dr. Rosen?
What?
When will it bring down inflation?
Well, we have to.
There's a combination of things that'll bring down inflation.
We have to become less dependent on.
It doesn't do it now, does it?
No, it doesn't do it right now because OPEC controls oil and we're oil dependent. And they are cutting back on the production of oil. And unfortunately, neither Biden, Johnson, or Mandela have any influence over OPEC right now.
I cut him off. But see, Dr. Rosen, you know, and I let him. We left him on for that long because, again, he speaks for the other side, right?
Yep.
That there are people who believe what he believes, and even though you challenged him to bring up some truths, he's not able to do that because they don't give him all of that information. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. Anyway, Dr. Rosen, we got to run. Man, the time flies when you're here. I see you're still a little feisty, huh?
Yeah, well, I just wish people would discuss the issues and based on facts and not based on television commercials, which are highly partisan and not based on reality.
But isn't that amazing to you that in this nation, we are still at that point where that's what people are believing in and not the rest?
No, it's not that amazing to me just because I think people are working hard. They're trying to take care of their families.
Right.
Some of them are going to school. They're working many hours, and they don't have time to pay attention.
Dr. Rosen, we got to run. We're going to be joined next by David Liners of Wisdom. Be right back.
Bye-bye.